Hello. So we're going to look at chapter four of the Tao Te Ching. And as we look at chapter four, I think you're going to get some ideas of the types of decisions I had to make while I was translating. Not only me, but anybody who translates the Tao Te Ching. I think you're going to see there's decisions that a translator has to make. Let me just read to you the way I've translated it first. So this is chapter four. I called it Benefits of the Way. And it's interesting because in the first two chapters, we saw kind of a metaphysical explanation that said everything is God. But when we begin naming things, desiring things, defining things, we create duality, we create opposites. And then we saw in the next chapter, chapter three, that, here's some practical ways that this is done, right? Especially speaking to those officers and officials. This is how you create your own problems through duality. You value things, and through valuing things, you create competition, you create thieves, etc. And then let me just read the last part of chapter three again. And then Lao Tzu says, with that said, here is how sages govern. They empty their hearts of desires and remain solid in gut instinct. They weaken their self-will and remain strong in deeply established faith. They encourage people to realize they do not know. They encourage people to be without desire. They also teach people to avoid acting based on thinking. They do without doing. There is nothing that is not arranged naturally. Well, if you imagine that, this is speaking again to the officers and officials of the Zhou dynasty. And imagine, they're hearing this. This is so different from the way that they think, from the way that they function. Imagine that somebody is just beginning to listen and say, well, that all sounds interesting, but how do I know that if I give up my thinking, if I give up my way of leading, that everything's gonna be all right? I mean, I think that's a natural question for many of us when we hear about the spiritual path. If I start letting go of my beliefs, if I start letting go of my conditioning, if I start letting go of defending myself, how do I know that I am gonna be okay? And it seems like Lao Tzu might have anticipated this question, because chapter four kind of answers that question for us. So I called it Benefits of the Way, but let's listen to how that question is answered. The way is like an empty vessel that can be used and reused. Perhaps it can never be filled, which is why it is always available. The way is profound. It is the ancestor of everything. It will diminish your sharpened sense of self. It will eliminate your confusion. It will merge divine nature with your human nature. How deep! It seems, perhaps, to be actuality. I do not know how the way came into being. It is prior to the appearance of the gods. In other words, what I hear Lao Tzu saying is the way is, it's unfathomable, and yet it's always there for us, right? If we learn to tune into it with our intuition, with our if we learn to trust that gut instinct, it always guides us appropriately. We can never nag it with our concerns or questions. It is always there for us. And not only is it there for us, but it changes how we see ourselves. We get to where we don't really see ourselves as this person that we saw ourselves as. We begin to see ourselves maybe first as the servant of the Tao. Maybe we see ourselves first as some type of a mystic that's in touch with something beyond us. But then what begins to happen is we begin to see ourselves as it, not in an egotistical way, But we start to see that all things are the Tao, including I. Right? All things are the Tao, including I. And that changes everything. Now, where did this Tao come from? I don't know. You know, it's before anything that we've ever conceptualized, before any God that we have thought of, even, right? I mean, but it is there and it cannot be overused and you can depend on it, right? That's how that question seems to get answered. It's a pretty amazing answer. But I want to look at the translation of this because it was an interesting experience translating this chapter of the Tao. So I'll share my screen. And when we look at chapter four, notice how I translated the first line of Chinese characters. Wei, rinse and use. Of perhaps no full, which I then put into English in this way. The way is like an empty vessel that can be used and reused. Perhaps it can never be filled, which is why it is always available. I want to look at this particular character, which is Chong in Chinese. I've put that into the dictionary. Let's look at the dictionary. If you look at Chong in Chinese, you'll notice it has several meanings. Thoroughfare, to go straight ahead, to rush or to clash, to dash against, water dashing against something, to mix with water, to infuse, to rinse, to flush, to develop a film, to rise in the air, to clash, to collide with, powerful, vigorous, pugnant, towards, in view of. I frequently came up to Chinese characters that had many meanings like this. And when that happened, of course, especially since I don't know Chinese, I was kind of at a loss with how do I translate this? So one of the things I would do is I would look the same character up in multiple dictionaries. If we look at Cheng in a second dictionary, notice here it says sore, pour boiling water over. If we look at Cheng in a third dictionary, notice it says to rinse, to collide, to water, to rush, to dash, to wash out, to charge, highway, public road, and dash against. So let's go back to my translation. You'll notice in the end, I ended up picking the word rinse. And the reason I picked the word rinse is because of what the rest of the characters meant. This is the way, right? Or the Tao, the way, Chong, and use or employ of, which means the following points back to the beginning. Perhaps no full. So this is talking about something that can be used and perhaps is never filled. As I began to really contemplate this, it began to feel like a vessel. And then rinse and reuse seemed to start making sense. It's a vessel. The Tao is like a vessel. You don't just use it once and then it's thrown away, or you don't just use it once and it's used up. It's like a vessel, you know, a piece of pottery that you have in your kitchen that you make your rice in the morning, you make your rice in it again at lunch, and you make your rice in it again at dinner. And the next day, you do it all over again, right? I began to see this empty vessel that you rinse and use, rinse and use, rinse and use, and it's always available to you. That's what this said to me. The Tao is something that is used over and over and over again, and it's always available to you. And so as I begin to really contemplate the meaning of all of the characters together, this is what led me to choose rinse. And if we go back and look at the dictionary, we look at my first dictionary, rinse was an option. We look at my second dictionary. We could say to pour boiling water over is like rinsing. And if we look at my third dictionary, rinse was the very first definition. But you can see that I had to really contemplate the Chinese characters together, contemplate what they mean before I could even pick that particular word. So the way is like an empty vessel. And notice the words empty vessel aren't even here. See how I took the image that the contemplation was bringing to me, and I put that image into English words, even though they weren't quite in the Chinese, right? The Chinese simply says way, rinse, and use of perhaps no full. But in English, I say, the way is like an empty vessel that can be used and reused. Perhaps it can never be filled, which is why it is always available. And this is a very important message when someone is beginning to listen to the teaching of the way. And of course, there's this fear. You know, if I let go of my thinking, if I let go of my self-will, if I let go of everything I've always depended on, how do I know I'm going to be okay? Because the way is completely dependable, and it will always be dependable. Profound, right? The way is profound. It is the ancestor of everything. You know, it's the way that when you a little seed is planted and a plant or a tree even grows out of that seed. And imagine a cottonwood, how small a cottonwood seed is, flies through the air, lands, and a giant cottonwood comes up and grows out of that. It's the way that makes that happen. You know, you can trust the way. It has so much intelligence in it. You can't even begin to fathom its intelligence. The way is profound. It is the ancestor of everything. Now, let's look at this next set of characters. This next set of characters dampen. We've seen this character before, this his, her. It could also mean it or there, right? It's the pronoun character. There it is, right there. Here it is again, right here. Here it is again, right here. And here it is again, right here. So that character, that pronoun character, could mean his or her. It could mean it, which means it would be talking about the way itself. Or it could mean there, like all of the people out there or something, right? And every time I see that character, I have to contemplate again the message as a whole and determine which pronoun is being used here. In this case, I went for his, her. But the his, her that I'm referring to is the audience. If I'm Lao Tzu, I'm referring to the officers and officials that I am writing for. Now, if I was writing, I would be, the his, her would be you, the reader. In other words, this is what the way is going to do for you. It is going to dampen your sharp. It is going to remove your confused. It is going to blend your light, same your dust. Now, what does all of that mean? Before I share how I contemplated it and translated it, why don't we just look at how some others have translated those things? So this is John C.H. Wu. This translation is from 1961. Notice, the pronoun was kind of left out. It just says it blunts all sharp edges, right? So his, her, their, it's, right? All. The pronoun is everybody. It blunts all sharp edges. It unties all tangles. It harmonizes all lights. It unites the world into one whole. That's one translation of those lines. Let's look at Marie Chen from 1989. It blunts the sharp, unties the entangled, harmonizes the bright, mixes the dust. And in fact, we'll see a little bit of difference here between these two translations. We go back to this first one. It said it unites the world into one whole. This one is mixes the dust. We'll look at why these differences appear. And again, the types of decisions that I made when I was translating. Let's look at Paul J. Lynn, 1977. It dulls sharpness and sorts tangles, blends with the light, becoming one with the dust. And then let's look at this one that my friend Yuen gave to me. I don't know who the author is, but notice it says, the Tao bends or dulls all things of sharpness or keenness. It allays all things of disorder or dispute or confusion. It combines or harmonizes its light or its glory with all things. Thus, all things are merged as indistinguishable earthly dust. Let's go back and look at my translation real quick. It will diminish your sharpened sense of self. It will eliminate your confusion. It will merge divine nature with your human nature. So let's look at how I made these decisions. I'm going to take this set of characters, and I'm going to put this set of characters into my first dictionary. Here's what we find. The first character again has several meanings, one of which was to dampen. The second character is the pronoun character. And then the third character said acute. Now, what I did was I took this third character, acute, and I put it into the other two dictionaries. Here it means sharp, keen, or acute or pointed. Here it means sharp, or it could mean acute. And so what I actually did was I looked up acute in the English dictionary. And again, it has a few definitions, but one of those definitions, having a sharp end or pointed. Another definition, keen, shrewd, which these were some of the possible translations in Chinese, right? And so I contemplated all three Chinese dictionaries and the English dictionary together. And I asked myself, what is sharp, acute, keen, shrewd that needs to be dampened? You know, what is that? And I came up with our sharpened sense of self. Remember, chapter 3 talked about emptying our hearts of desires, weakening our self-will, realizing we do not know, avoiding acting based on thinking. It looks like the way, the ancestor of everything, if we surrender to it, it dampens our sharp sense of self. This is what I came up with. That's the keenness. That's the shrewdness. That's the acuteness. That's the point, the sharp, right? It dampens our sharp, which then makes perfect sense with the next sentence. It removes our confusion. So it will diminish your sharpened sense of self. It will eliminate your confusion. Now, this next sentence was also very interesting. Blend his, her light, same his, her dust. If I take that and put that into the dictionary, Notice this could mean harmony, peace, mixed together, blend. It can also mean to compose a poem. That's all the same character, by the way, right? It can also mean soft and warm, and it can be to complete a set in Mahjong. But I focused more on the first one, which is the harmony or the peace, and the third one, which was to mix together or to blend. And in the end, I chose the word blend. But here we have harmony, peace, mixed together, blend. That's the first character. His, her, light. Harmony, peace, mixed together, blend. His, her, light. His, her, ray. His, her, brightness. Remember, we already saw one translation that also used the word glory. So it harmonizes or blends light in the same, like or the same or similar or together with his, her, dust or earth. Or the way I saw this was earthliness. Remember, the body is from dust to dust. The human body is earthliness or dust, right? So I saw this as harmonize or blend. To me, they actually had the same meaning. I chose the word blend, but harmonize or blend our light or the Tao's light and make it the same or mix it together with our humanness, right? And if we go back to my translation, we'll see I wrote blend his, her light, same his, her dust. It will merge divine nature with your human nature. I want to start at the top now. And again, I just want to read this entire message. And again, think of the question that might have arisen. How do I know I can trust this Tao? Right? If I'm going to give up my self-will, I'm going to give up my desires, I'm going to give up my thinking. You know, it's like jumping off of a cliff. What is it that I'm going to fall into? Here's the answer. The way is like an empty vessel that can be used and reused. Perhaps it can never be filled, which is why it is always available. The way is profound. It is the ancestor of everything. It will diminish your sharpened sense of self, your keenness, your acuteness. It will eliminate your confusion. It will merge divine nature with your human nature. How deep. It seems perhaps to be actuality. Let me look up the word actuality in our English dictionary. Actual existence, right? As contrasted with what's believed. That's what actuality is. Actual existence. And notice the characters here say deep, seems, perhaps, exist. It's actual existence. How deep. It seems perhaps to be actuality. This humanness is not the actuality. The Tao is the actuality. Where did all of this come from? I do not know how the way came into being. It is prior to the appearance of the gods. And this last character could have been, gods. This character right here could have been gods, or it could have been emperor, right? I think it kind of meant both. Anything that we have created to put above us, you know, our concepts of gods. There's the god that keeps the valleys fertile, and there's the god of our ancestors, and there's the emperor, right? There's all these different gods that we have imagined, that we have imaged. This is prior to all of the gods that we have imaged, that we have imagined, that we have created. It's the first, right? It's the first. So again, the way is like an empty vessel that can be used and reused. Perhaps it can never be filled, which is why it is always available. The way is profound. It is the ancestor of everything. Imagine that intelligence. Just look around you. Imagine the intelligence of that which is the ancestor of everything. It will diminish your sharpened sense of self, your thinking you know everything. It'll diminish that. It'll eliminate your confusion. It will merge divine nature with your human nature. How deep? It seems perhaps to be actuality, that which is really here. I do not know how the way came into being. It is prior to the appearance of the gods that we have imagined, that we have imaged, right? Let me just go ahead and share another translation. We've looked at a little bit. We've looked at a few. Let's read Paul J. Lynn from 1977 from top to bottom. Tao is empty, used yet never filled. It is deep, like the forefather of all things. It dulls sharpness and sorts tangles, blends with the light, becoming one with the dust. So serene as if it hardly existed. I do not know whose son it is. It seems to have preceded God. This person made different choices in translating than I did. And yet, in spite of that, it seems to be describing something that we can depend on, something that we can count on, something that is always there for us, something we cannot overuse. Something that can't really be expressed. And maybe that's why chapter four is translated so differently by different people. If you read lots of different translations of chapter four and you watch these decisions that the translators had to make, you will find that we have not all translated it the same way. And yet, somehow, beyond those words, the message of the Tao comes out anyway, that it's beyond everything. That it's an amazing intelligence, that it's before everything, and it's always available. No matter how it's translated, that message comes through. It's like we can't distort the message. Isn't that brilliant? So how are we going to practice this? Well, one of the lines said that it would dampen our sharpness, our acuteness, our keenness, which I translated as our sharpened sense of self. Maybe it would be nice just to look at, what is this sharpened sense of self that I have? You know, what is my own individual sharpened sense of self, which might be dampened or weakened if I surrender to the Tao? We kind of want to become familiar with who we think we are, right? So who do I think I am? Look very deep at this. You know, there's some obvious first things that may come into your mind. Like, I think if it was Regina, I think I was born in Kansas. I think I've lived in many different states, lived in many, you know, even in many different countries. So I think I'm a, you know, a person who has lived all over. So my personality is broader than Kansas and yet still rooted in Kansas. I think I'm a woman. I think I'm a mother. Maybe I think I'm a spiritual teacher. I'm a dog owner. You know, these obvious things will come up first. But if I get even beyond that, if I go deeper, who do I think I am? Well, I think I am smart. Sometimes I think I am dumb, not so smart. I think I am ugly. Sometimes I think I am attractive. I think I look good. I think I am healthy. I think I am old, but sometimes I feel quite young. And sometimes I notice the injuries in this body and I don't feel quite so healthy anymore. I don't feel like I can do the things I used to do. I think I am honest, but I know sometimes I exaggerate or even lie. I feel like I don't have a lot of money. But sometimes I feel very rich, very lucky, better off than others, right? Just keep going. Just keep going. You're going to find that your sense of self has a lot of contrasts in it. You're going to find that your sense of self is in comparison to someone else. You're just like the fork, right? The fork is a short fork compared to one fork and a long fork compared to a different fork. Well, my attractiveness, my intelligence, my sense of abundance or lack, right? All compared to certain situations, which is why it shifts and changes. Look at this sense of self. Really spend time, everything you can think of, go as deep as you can. And then meanwhile, just kind of hold this question in your mind. Is that really what I am? Am I smart if I'm also dumb? Am I ugly if I'm also attractive? Am I healthy if I also have a lot of injuries in my body or I also have these illnesses? Am I poor if I also have more than a lot of people? Right? Who am I? And is my sense of self anything more than an image like those gods? Is it real? Is it just thought? Spend some time contemplating that. And then I will come back next time and we will look at chapter 5. Bye.